She's the House Minority Leader, and she's in our Touch Points Rehab Interview Chair. Femis, good morning. Welcome to Brad and Dan.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We know the vote now, the rank and file result, and the unions have approved this concessions deal. Now, where does your Republican caucus in the House stand on this?
Well, we stand the same place we've been standing for months now. We appreciate the negotiation on it. We understand the union rank and file voting to ratify it, but the problem is, as we've talked about time after time, we have a $5.1 billion deficit, and unless we make serious structural changes to this state, that's not going to change. It's going to get worse and get worse. And although we appreciate all the work all our state employees do, we need to change the structure of their plans, and that's all there is to it. It was a good first step, but it didn't go far enough. And what we have done in the House and Senate Republicans is we put together an alternative plan that will get more concessions, but really help the state of Connecticut move forward. Because, guys, here's the bottom line. It's not affordable. We cannot afford it. It is not sustainable. It will not last. People will not get what they, you know, you talk about keeping our word and making sure people get what they signed up for. I couldn't agree with that more. I do not want people going to their mailbox in 5 years or 10 years and saying, you know, sorry, no more health insurance for you guys, no more pension for you guys because we've run out of money.
That's what you say will happen.
I don't know how we sustain it with this debt. I mean, it's just not sustainable anymore. It was sustainable years and years ago when it started, but it is my understanding that when the vote was taken, they were told as they were voting that this is the best state employees plan in the United States of America, and I believe it. So I understand why people voted for it. I do. But as a legislator and as a leader in this state, it's my job to make sure that the state is sustainable and will be able to move forward while trying to take care of our good state employees. And there's got to be a middle ground, and we believe in the House and Senate Republicans that our plan is that middle ground. And we are ready to, we've been ready for months to vote on our budgets and move them forward.
Now, the Democrats say that the Republican plan imposes these unilateral changes on the unions, that the unions would challenge that in court. What do you say to that?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because that is, it's half true and half false. And by that, I mean this. Right now, all the state employee unions, except the state police, have had contracts that expired on June 30th, 2016. So that was a year ago. So there are no contracts in place right now. So certainly we would not want to, nor would we be able to, change existing contracts. So we are able to make these statutory changes in our plans because there are not existing contracts right now. Having said that, the changes we have made in our plans are for, there's several levels of them. They're health care changes for non-union employees. So we are able to change those immediately and gain those savings, like increasing co-pays for insurance, doctor's visits, et cetera. But the second question is, and I always use my dad as an example. My dad has said to me my whole life, Femis, can we sue on this? Or Femis, can I sue on that? And the answer is, Dad, you can sue anytime you want. The question is, what is your likelihood of winning? So could they sue? Absolutely. Would they win? Very questionable. So that's the answer to that. We have heard for weeks and weeks and weeks that our plan is illegal. It's not. It is absolutely within our ability to make these changes statutorily. We can start right now with health care changes for non-union employees. We can start right now with moving over our retired state employees from a state-insured program to Medicare Advantage program, and then move forward in 2022 with pension changes. And all these changes just bring our state employee contracts in line with the private sector. That's all. It's not about hurting anybody. It's about putting them in line. I mean, right now, guys, most state employees pay 2% into their pension.
How much?
2%.
Wow.
That's the average.
Whoa.
There's some that pay... say 4%, there's some that pay zero.
What should they
be paying? The national average, I believe, is 8%.
8%, okay. Wow.
Well, why, you know something, this is the frustrating part, but to hear some of the publicity, you would think that this is the greatest deal that the governor's ever made. I mean, I just don't understand why it's being reported this way. Do you understand what I mean?
I do, and I recognize, I mean, the governor, I think, actually used the word historic. Now, I recognize the struggle the governor had, because the way we operate and the way we can negotiate these contracts is different than over 40 other states in the country. The governor nor the legislature has the ability to do anything unless the unions are interested in doing it. Having said that, I give him credit for the job that he did. It just didn't go far enough. And it wasn't something that is going to change the way the state of Connecticut moves forward. Now, having said that, there's a reason that contract on Monday night was approved by such a large percent. I want to say it was in the 80s, 83%, I think. There's a reason, because it's a great deal.
Yeah.
I don't blame them for voting for it. And I understand the governor's struggle. But what we have been saying for years is that we need to change our structure so we are able to do this statutorily. That's why we, legislative Republicans, have made these proposals for things we can change now and then things we can change in 2022. Remember, part of this deal that they ratified on Monday night and that they want the legislature to approve extends this contract to 2027, which allows for the hand tying of every taxpayer in this state for the next 10 years. It is a 4-year guaranteed no layoff provision, which I don't know anybody who has that, who has a guaranteed job for 4 years. And it is a guaranteed wage increase. Those three things in and of themselves, I think, are a problem for anybody.
Now, Senator Fasano was on this program yesterday, and we're talking with House Minority Leader Themis Claridis, and he fears that the House Democrats, when they eventually bring a budget up for a vote, will fold this contract into the overall budget vote. What are your thoughts on that?
His fears are very valid. I have the same fears. I have spoken with the speaker many times. He seems committed, based on his words, to voting on this contract individually. Just so people know, the way that these contracts work, once they are negotiated by the governor's office and the unions, they may be voted on in the legislature, but if they are not voted on within 30 days, they automatically become valid. I have been in the legislature for 19 years, and I have never voted on a union contract because one has never been brought to a vote. The speaker has been under a lot of pressure to bring this to a vote from all of us for the past 6 months. He said he wants to vote on it individually. I take him at his word. But he is able, if he chose, because of the way our rules are in the House, which Republicans have tried to change 100 times in the past few years. If he chose to, he could blend it right into the budget whenever a budget deal happens. And that's what Senator Fasano is concerned about, and we're all concerned about.
Sure. Themis, we're running out of time. We just have a couple of minutes left, but there is a story in the Connecticut Post this morning which indicates you're considering a run for governor. What can you tell us about that?
Listen, it's very flattering, and when reporters ask or people ask, I say thank you very much. It's certainly something that I've thought of, but I'm the House Republican leader, and that is my priority, and that is my job, and we need to get a budget in this state, and until we do that, that will be the only thing I'll be thinking about.
When do you think we'll have a budget?
That's an excellent question.
Never.
I was hoping we would have had one by the time we were supposed to have done our job.
Wow.
By June 7th. As I said to you, depending on how you count, the House and Senate Republicans have had 6 to 8 budgets since the second week of April. Okay, so in 3 months, we've had 6 to 8 full budgets. We have been asking and demanding that those budgets are run in the House and the Senate, that they are voted on. This is a wonderful place called democracy we live in, and if you choose to vote against it, then that's certainly your prerogative, but you should explain why. We have not had that ability to do so. Interesting that the small majority party has not had budgets to run, and the budgets they've had, they have had no ability to get their votes on it. Senator Fasano and I maintain, and will continue to maintain, that we have budgets and we want to vote on them.
Thank you. This is a State House Minority Leader Themis Claridis, we've been speaking with, and God only knows how it's all going to end.
Themis, thanks very much for spending some time with us.